This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our lunch speaker today was Illinois Senate Minority Leader Bill Brady. Bill is a native of Bloomington, Illinois, a graduate of Illinois Wesleyan University, who spent most of his career working in the private sector, developing housing and marketing. He discussed the tough decisions that the Republican Party had to make in the legislative session recently concluded. The decision not to fight everything, that there were too many big issues facing Illinois, therefore a need for bipartisanship, something that had not existed during the previous 4 years in Springfield. The Republicans, he said, were opposed to the $800 million pension holiday. They're opposed to the mandated minimum wage. They feel this will hurt job creation. They were opposed to legalization of cannabis and mostly opposed to a graduated income tax. He said, we worked in the area with the Democrats to improve educational opportunities, senior care, reform in business areas, improving Department of Children and Family Services, and most important, a meaningful infrastructure. The fuel taxes that will be collected because of the lockbox amendment of several years ago will be going to roads, rail, and air, and cannot be used in other areas. He said he felt that the Republicans were able to moderate some of Governor Pritzker's policies in this session in Springfield. The ugly, he said, when he talked about the good, bad, and the ugly, would be the elimination of the flat tax against a graduated income tax. He said, we Republicans believe there is no safeguard for middle-income families. The Democrats in the future will raise taxes while providing no meaningful property tax relief. He said, in 2020, the $3 billion tax increase must be defeated. When the legislature returns in the fall, he said, we must adjust pension reform and a fair map for the coming elections. We must end gerrymander. And Senator Brady ended up by referring to three movies, The Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More, and he said, we must limit the more in the future. So everyone be on guard. He said that 2020 could be a good opportunity for the Republican Party. A U.S. Senate seat will be open up and various congressional candidates. There will be four candidate seats up in the Senate in Springfield. 10 others are possibilities. Mostly, he said, we will focus on the economy and defeating the proposed Pritzker tax increase.
Good afternoon, and thanks for having me back once again. It's great to be with all of you, but I really just came for the one-year free membership and the cup. Do we still get a cup? No, it's always good to be with you, and it's nice of you to invite Republicans every once in a while. Is Tierra still here? What a wonderful rendition she did. Give her a round of applause for that. And to my good friend, Father Vilo. Father Vilo and I have known each other for a number of years, but more importantly, he became friends of my son and daughter-in-law when they were in law school at DePaul and blessed us with his co-celebrating, actually, their marriage in Florida. So he's become part of the family. Father, good to see you. And Skinny, where's Skinny? Skinny, I don't know anybody who gives more of their time and effort, and particularly for the Special Olympics. We can't thank you enough for all that volunteer work you put in. Give them a round of applause. Jay, thanks for the invitation, and Frank, thanks for the kind introduction. It is good to be with you. Anyone can ask a question, with the exception of my Senate colleagues, present and former, and my friend since childhood, Pat Brady. So don't take any questions from any of them. You know, last night I had a phone call from President Culleton, and he said, Bill, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, what? And he said, one of my children came home last night, and they sent some astounding things. They said, Dad, rip up that college loan documents. You don't have to pay for me to go to college. Rent my room out, sell my car, give it to charity, take all my jewelry and give it away, my bank accounts, and write me out of the will. To which I said, President Culleton, did they really say that? He said, no, No, they just told me they were leaving to support Donald Trump's campaign for president. So not in so many words. But I honestly have a good relationship with President Colton. That didn't happen, by the way. When my son William had our fourth grandchild, he had a little fun with me on the floor. I don't know, you've invited me here, but you probably forget. At one time, I was the Republican nominee for governor. And the gentleman I ran against, my son calls us up with news of his fourth grandchild, and he says, Dad, it's a girl. We never know the gender, and we never know the name because they're afraid we'll criticize it. Well, this would have been a case in point. He says, it's a beautiful young girl, and we've named her Quinn Margaret Brady. I don't know if you remember, but Pat Quinn was the one he claims he had no idea. And it is a beautiful name, but she will be ever referred to me as Maggie. No. But he did have a little fun. And you know, frankly, that's the kind of way we entered Springfield this year. I don't know if any of you remember, but last November, Republicans didn't do so well in Illinois. We entered an era with a newly elected Democratic governor. We were in the super minority, and we had some decisions to make. And I'll confess to you that there were people in our own party and in the state who thought that Leader Durkin and myself and the caucuses that we proudly represent should have taken a fire and brimstone approach. That maybe we should have just said, "Oh, hell with you, Democrats! We're going to fight everything, and we're not going to cooperate or try to work." But Leader Durkin and I felt it was important that we visit with our caucuses and we talk about what opportunities we would be missing if we took that approach. And we decided that there were two, to use Governor Pritzker's term, too many big issues facing this state that we had to at least try to work in a bipartisan fashion on areas we could agree to advance the interest of the state. We all travel outside the state, and we all hear the jokes about former governors and about the economic position, financial condition that we're in. And we really did know that we needed to accomplish some things, hopefully collectively. And I'm proud to say that I believe the Republicans in Springfield, and particularly my Senate Republican caucus, worked hard in a bipartisan way to make this state better. And I think played a role in that process. We weren't afraid to speak up when needed, like our opposition to the governor's $800 million pension holiday. When the governor introduced his budget, he introduced it in terms of a pension holiday, and we spoke up immediately about how that was not the right direction. That was not the way to go. In fact, this session, as I've told people before, reminded me of something that Pat Brady and I used to watch frequently, and that was a spaghetti western called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That was one of the ugly parts of what we saw introduced this year. But we came to the table. We didn't seek to overturn it and to find common ground. We know the governor campaigned on a specific agenda, and we knew that that would be coming toward us, things that we couldn't agree with, like a mandated minimum wage by government fiat. Some of us couldn't support his idea of legalized recreational cannabis. And particularly, we found great error and fault in the idea that we would change our Constitution from something our founders of the Constitution in 1970 thought was important to protect all of Illinois families, and that is a flat and fair tax in Illinois. But we did find common ground. Investing in our children's education, the Invest in Kids scholarship program. One of the things that we fought hard for under Governor Rauner was an investment in low-income children having the same opportunity as others in private schools. We found common ground investing in senior care. Our nursing homes and our supportive living facilities were hurting badly because we had underfunded them in the past. And we knew that we needed reform in business areas, and we fought hard for that, as well as supporting the Department of Children and Family Services and other issues like that that put the children of our state at risk. And lastly, we knew that we needed to have an infrastructure program. I was just here for Father's Day visiting with my son-in-law who's here and daughter and two children and drove back to Bloomington from Chicago. And I don't know how many axles I probably could have ripped out on those roads. Illinois is in desperate need of a reinvestment in our infrastructure. We benefit from the geographical presence that no other state has, not to mention our natural resources. But if we can't transport those resources economically and efficiently, not to mention provide for the public safety of our citizens as they travel throughout this state, then we're missing a great opportunity. There were things that we were, as I said, unanimously opposed to. One was the minimum wage hike that we think will hurt job creation. Advancing a budget that secretly included pay raises. Enacting the state's most extreme abortion policy. And as I said earlier, a graduated income tax that the Democrats purport to increase taxes by over $3 billion. But as I said, the capital plan, which was critically important, and I want to thank Senator Don DeWitt for leading the cause for Senate Republicans in this session. You know, it was a point that we needed to make. And as I negotiated with the governor and the four leaders, I said, as tough a vote as this is, Senate Republicans will be there in a bipartisan way if you can assure us that the resources will be spread adequately and meet the needs of our state and not squandered politically. One of the reasons we were able to assure that was several years ago we passed a constitutional amendment that lockboxed those funds. Those funds so that they can't be swept away like we saw previous governors do and used for programs outside of our infrastructure so that the people of Illinois knew they could have and find integrity in the fact that their motor fuel dollars would go to actually improve their roads, their rail, their air, their ports, and so forth. That's what we were about in this election. We also found common ground on the Invest in Kids program. This was something that, as I said earlier, was very important to us when we reformed education funding. We felt it was very important that low-income, moderate-income children should have the same economic opportunity to attend private schools as wealthier families. We passed that in the revolutionary education reform package several years ago. Most of you know that Governor Pritzker, sorry for that, Governor Pritzker called for phasing that out. One of the first things that we Republicans said when the governor introduced his budget is we won't stand for that. We had an agreement that this program would last for no less than 5 years and that would be an investment in the educational future of children throughout this state. We argued back and forth about that, but at the end of the day, we prevailed, and children throughout this state who may not have the economic means to go to a private school will have the opportunity through those scholarship proceeds provided by people throughout this state. When we get to the bad of the good, the bad, and the ugly, I come back to what I feel is the harm with the mandated minimum wage. Now, in Chicago, $15 may not sound like a lot of money, and it's not when it comes to raising a family. But in different parts of the state, those resources go differently. We Republicans aren't against increasing wages and livelihood for families throughout this state. In fact, we're for it. We just don't believe you can accomplish that by government fiat. We've seen, under Governor Blagojevich, the damages that were created when they increased the mandated minimum wage. We're afraid we will lose jobs as employers have to make tough decisions about how to meet their bottom line. We think the best way to increase wages and the livelihood for families is a stronger economy, which is why the business reforms were so important to us in achieving those in this year. Even though we had a super minority in the Senate and in the House, we believe that we were able to do a lot of good things by being at the table. By working with Governor Pritzker, Speaker Madigan and his caucus, President Culleton and his caucus. And although I would say that nothing as it is today would have been the way it is if Republicans were in charge, we believe we were able to moderate the discussion to make Illinois better. Now we get to the last thing, what I call the ugly. Some of you may disagree with me, but that comes back to this issue of changing our Constitution and eliminating what we think is a fair flat tax. The proposal in front of us is to alter that, allowing for a graduated income tax. We stood united as Republicans against this, primarily because we could find no safeguards for middle-income families. The last income tax increase in the state of Illinois, we saw the largest exodus of middle-income families. Ladies and gentlemen, our workforce is hurting because people are leaving the state. And if we don't work to preserve our fair flat tax, I'm fearful that it'll be that much easier for Democrats to raise tax rates, not only on the wealthy, but on middle-income families and others, driving more people out of this state. In addition to that, the graduated proposal which they put fell far short of providing property tax relief. The people of Illinois desperately need property tax relief. Between the escalated income tax and the property tax, people are forced to make a decision about where they're going to raise their family. And as a net out-migration state, we've fallen short too many times on that question. This tax, we believe, or this constitutional amendment, which will usher in, under Governor Pritzker, an over $3 billion tax increase, must be defeated, in our opinion, if we want to preserve the economic viability in middle-income families in the state of Illinois. What's next? What's next is, we believe, something that was left undone, and that is pension reform. We have over $140 billion in unfunded pension liabilities, about $8 billion this year in spending, and three-quarters of that goes toward legacy costs. We need to do something to curb the future problems with our pensions, and we need to address that next year, where resources will lack in the area of educational funding and other areas. In addition to that, there needs to be an increased effort to provide property tax relief throughout this state. As I said earlier, property taxes, particularly under the new tax code at the federal level and the limitations on SALT, state and local taxes, have become ever more burdensome on families and throughout this state, and we need to do something to curb that. And, frankly, I believe what's equally and more important to put on the Constitution is a fair map. Even Mayor Lightfoot supports fair maps throughout this state. Illinois has to come to an end of gerrymandering districts to put one party in charge, drawn by that party in charge. And we want to lead the fight on that. In fact, there's a bipartisan resolution in the Senate that has Senate Democrats and Republicans sponsoring that would give the people of Illinois a chance to choose to have fair maps drawn by people other than members of the General Assembly for their own interest. For far too long, because of that, I believe the people of Illinois haven't had a voice in the process. These are important agenda items that we need to move forward. I'm privileged to represent a caucus that cares deeply about the entire state and will continue, I believe, to work in a bipartisan fashion to make this state a better place, regardless of the number of members we have. In closing, I don't know how many of you remember the movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but it was the final movie of a trilogy that started with A Fistful of Dollars and A Few Dollars More, brought spaghetti westerns back. Ladies and gentlemen, as we move forward in the state, I think we need to make sure that the politicians don't continue to ask for a few dollars more. So together, we can make this state a better place by fending off tax increases and, as I said, fair maps and stopping the $3 billion tax increase that the Democrats want to do to amend our Constitution have to be our highest priorities. Thank you for having me here.
Okay, Our staff will be around picking up some questions that we have for Leader Brady. I will start off with a question. Next year is an election year. Could you comment on Republican candidates? We have a U.S. Senate election and the presidential election that you referred to earlier.
Well, I see Chairman Snyder sitting over here, and he's working diligently to recruit candidates throughout the state, particularly the statewide races. We've got candidates in the office who one has announced he's running for the congressional seat of a seat held by a Democrat and another one considering it. I think we've got a great opportunity here to put a really good candidate, a Republican candidate for the United States Senate. I think we've got a really good opportunity to take on some of the Democrats. What I think will be interesting in some of those elections, if I'm hearing things correctly, I think Nancy Pelosi is going to have a tough time keeping the Democrats from impeaching Donald Trump. And it'll be an interesting part of the equation to see how the public reacts to that. And I think it does give some of our candidates a real opportunity to point to their differences in this next cycle. As for Leader Durkin and myself, he has every seat up. Our caucus has only 4 incumbency seats up, and we have about 8 or 10 other seats that we think are viable as we move forward. So we're looking for good candidates to run. So if you live in one of those districts, see me after this meeting, and we'll be happy to talk about putting you on the ballot. Our goal, though, and again, you've heard me say it 5 times, I think, already, our goal is to have as many voices speaking from candidacy out there about how important it is that we defeat this tax increase. We just know what this has done to states like New York and others, and it has to be defeated, and we have to maintain a fair flat tax.
Okay, well, interestingly, that was one of the questions that was just submitted. Bill Bergman from Truth in Accounting, a City Club member, is the Illinois latest budget, is it a balanced budget?
You know, is the budget balanced? Well, it's a $40 billion question. I think it's as balanced as any budget we've seen in the last couple decades. It was very important to us as we came together and working with Democrats that we have a balanced budget that didn't rely on tax increases. And that by that I mean an operating budget. You all know the revenues were necessary for the transportation and infrastructure program. But we believe by and large, and I will tell you that I had Republican members of the Senate who thought about voting for the budget. We didn't. And the reason we didn't predominantly is there was a secret, and that was the biggest problem, there was a secret legislative pay increase in the budget. And so we advised our members that even if you think you support the rest, even if you support a pay raise, it shouldn't be done in a secretive way. And I do compliment our staff on pointing that out Friday night, the 31st. So where I would say the budget is balanced in terms of scope, give or take, as things come through, it is a relatively balanced document and probably the most balanced budget I didn't vote for.
Okay, we had a pre-submitted question. I'll just remind everyone, we do have a question in the back that you can submit your questions online ahead of time. But Terry Weaver of the University of Illinois, Chicago, with the shortage of advanced practice nurses, could you please comment on the difficulty of passing the nursing compact that would enable nurses to move to Illinois and begin practice with acceptance of their out-of-state license?
Well, the fact that it hasn't passed speaks to the difficulty in itself. I support the compact. We do have a shortage of nurses, and health care is of utmost importance. So we're going to continue to work on how we can get that job done. I think transparency will help, and looking to other states.
Okay. Linda Foreman has a City Club member who's with the National Association of Women Business Owners, has a question about how to have a fiscal policy that attracts moderate voters, and would your election messaging next year be focused on the economy rather than social issues?
Yeah, I there's no question that I think next year's election will be focused. I was talking to someone at lunch earlier today about how important the economy is going to be for the outcome of the election, whether it's president, United States Senate, or legislative races. In Illinois, I think, though, our focus, now I'm going to say it for the seventh time, is going to be about prohibiting this $3 billion tax increase that the Democrats are trying to impose by altering our Constitution. I think that will be the issue.
This may be the same question again, but specifically, how do you and your colleagues plan to end the exodus from Illinois?
Well, this year we were able to provide some job reforms that I think are going to foster business investment throughout this state. I also think that bringing stability and some certainty by passing what I said is the most balanced budget I didn't vote for, in place will help us. I think the bond rating agencies will add to that voice about what we can do. And the fact that we were able to make our pension payment without taking the holiday that Governor Pritzker initiated this year also brings some stability in the minds of business investment. I will also tell you that the infrastructure program, I find, is not only a direct jobs-building program, a public safety program, a public works program, but it is also the type of investment that businesses around the country have been looking for Illinois to make in itself. Many businesses that have let their capital infrastructure go under know that one of the best ways to revitalize that business is to infuse capital and rebuild the infrastructure of that business. That's what we felt we needed to do here in Illinois, and that's one of the reasons the infrastructure program was supported in a bipartisan way.
Okay, and a final question from Justice Lamkin, a City Club member, Justice of the Illinois Appellate Court in the First District. If we approve property tax relief and fail to approve a graduate income tax, do you have a specific proposal to pay for pensions and to fund education?
Yeah. Well, the best proposal to pay for anything is economic growth. Illinois has fallen far behind the rest of the nation when it comes to growing our economy and helping people with a livelihood. So the first and foremost effort is realizing that for every person we take off of the roles of government reliance and put on the roles of self-sufficiency is a double win. You reduce the need for government resources and you increase tax roles, not to mention the more important thing, in enhancing the quality of life for those individuals. So I've been a firm believer that the best way to do it is to grow your economy. Illinois has lacked. You can blame whoever you want, but over the last half a decade or so, we have lacked economic growth, particularly as compared to neighboring states. So our first focus ought to be what can we do to bring more investment, more job opportunities to this state, growing our economy. I do think we've got to seriously look at the property tax situation and what we can do to reduce those burdens. I've proposed things that I think are important. I've commissioned a study, for instance, this year in the education. I think we're going to see a revolution in education, if you ask me. Now, I've had some real revolutionary ideas, by the way. I've sponsored initiatives to make all public universities private non-for-profits, but I think we're also going to see a revolution in how we educate our children. I think we're missing opportunities in high school, and I've initiated discussions that will allow every student in Illinois in their junior and senior year in high school to receive a two-year associate's degree onto a baccalaureate, a two-year associate's degree onto a vocation, or a vocational trade in that opportunity. We need to compress and give people greater economic opportunities without saddling them with huge college debt. By the way, if we're able to do this, we're able to reduce reliance on property taxes that supports some of those community colleges and other things, taking advantage of the junior and senior year in high school.
Okay, please join me in thanking Leader Brady. Thank you.